Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
Welcome. How is everyone doing? You know, I'm need help today because my thoughts on the outdoors has not always been positive. And you know what? Agriculture or agritourism is what we're going to be talking about today. The outside world, nature is beautiful. But my idea of camping out at the Holiday Inn, I just have not been favorable. So I'm going to need my audience to call in today and have this conversation with me and share your experiences and your expertise, or just pose a question about agriculture and tourism You know, we can apply tourism to almost any topic. I have not come across one that I cannot apply tourism to. If you have one that you want to challenge me on, please feel free to do so. We'll be here for the next 2 hours. Right now, we are in Central Time. I'm operating out of Central United States Time, but broadcast is all around the world. And maybe if someone is in a satellite position in outer space, we would enjoy having you to chime in as well, because that is also a touch on agriculture in a different way. But today we are talking about how travel and education go hand in hand. And so does the soil of the earth, the mother earth. So many things can be captured from the mother earth. And in a lot of places around the world, it's harvest time. There are a lot of products that have been cultivated all year or all season in the growing season, and now is harvest time. So we want to share with you today the opportunities of urban farming, rural farming, ranching, fishing. Oh, I know we have a lot of folks who love to fish, and that is the reason for a lot of different reasons for people why they fish. So again, call in and talk about your experiences on the agricultural tourism that is going on. There is also an event today. If you're in the Chicagoland area, and it's so much. We're experiencing, it's a little chilly outside, but the sun is shining so brightly in our area that there's a lot of things that are going on outside. One is something that is truly amazing, truly a work of art right here in the middle of Chicago, the city of Chicago. We have many, many urban farms. We are reaching out and talking to and educating the youth on farming. Now, I know that we like our yards, our lawns, to be nice and green. And in doing so, we put a lot of pesticides in the soil. And when you do that, that's just like any other food that we consume. We're also consuming the pesticides and the other poisons that are given. You know, you wonder why folks are getting larger and larger because they're eating the different meat products and other products because of the types of feeding that they're receiving that is also going into your body, into your bloodstream. So if someone is feeding an animal to make them larger, and you eat that animal, you too are getting those ingredients in your body that are expanding you. So we wonder why this country in particular and around the world, folks are being unhealthy more and more. And it has nothing to do with necessarily the size, although the unhealthier you are, the size could be a factor. But we have to keep our health on top of all. we worry about taking this medication and that medication and that shot and this shot. If your body is healthier, or you can strive from this point on to be healthier, you may still have to do some medically induced items, but there are so many natural supplements, or not supplements, but food that you can eat and consume that would help your mechanics of the body that you now possess and healing itself. Again, it won't be overnight. Mm-mm. We won't have that that healing right away, but it will be coming. And if you chime in to our broadcast, the Female Solution Global Radio and Television Show, you will learn more and more about how to work on your physical health and your mental health, because your mind has to be ready in order to understand what is needed. And you talked about getting some tea. Oh, we can get you some tea. And that's not only tea that you consume in a drink. I'm talking about education tea. Yes, everybody perks up when they say, oh, we got some tea for you. Yes, we have some tea here at the Female Solution Radio, Global Radio. And let me stress that to you. If you have someone in other parts of the country or the world that you haven't able to reach or to see, certainly this is something that you want to share with them as well, the Female Solution Global Radio and Television Show. It is not just for you. You can't get any information. You know how you say if you have a closed hand, you can't get anything in that closed hand. Just think about it. If your fists are closed, there's nothing that's going in there. It'll be a little trickle here, a trickle there. But if you have open hands, you can receive knowledge that will put you on a trajectory that you will be so excited in living. In living, and that is something that we definitely want to share with you. This is not a negative TV radio show. No, we want to bring positivity in your life. I know a person who goes by the name of Dr. Positivity. And he is someone that always gives a little skit about positivity, learning positivity. So, nevertheless, we're talking about travel, education, and agritourism. Now, I mentioned earlier that there is an event that's going on in Chicago, and I'm sure there are events all over the world that are going on today and this evening. But this particular one is a community garden blessing. Yes, a community garden blessing, and the weather is certainly holding up well for it. It begins at 1 p.m. today and goes till about 5, so just about dark. Yeah, it's starting to get dark early now in Chicago, which means winter is coming. But they're blessing this community garden, and it's a Black-on-Black love community garden. And it was orchestrated by Valerie Goodlow, who is from Los Angeles, but she has moved into the neighborhood. And she wanted to introduce urban gardening to everyone. You know, we have empty lots, vacant lots that are just overgrown, overrun, and they're just wasteland. Now, there are a lot of good in those overgrown lots as far as the earth, what the earth is producing. But in our neighborhood, we have these platforms, these pallets, and I'm not talking about pallets that you, those wood pallets. No, we have pallets like a painter's pallet where you can go and clean up and cultivate a vacant lot and start growing your food. You know, they talk about how the shelves across America, and I would imagine around the world, are becoming bare again. But you should not be without food that is grown from the ground. Nature has provided this opportunity to us for us to live sustainably. All we have to do is use it. Stop always relying on what someone else is producing to be satisfied and nurtured. Learn how to produce for yourself. I'm seeing folks who have gardening in their home. They may be apartment dwellers. They don't have the land outside to be able to produce this information or these products. So they have to use what they have in their home. Hopefully they have some of that glorious sunshine coming through. But they have to utilize that in order to make a living. In some cases, they're making a living, but making nourishment, seasonings for their food, and that's what happens with a lot. I mean, you can't, it'll be hard to grow enough broccoli and greens and lettuce and tomatoes and whatnot in your home unless you have a nice size room that is structured for that. But as far as your ingredients, your basil, your thyme, and little things, you can still have your little tomatoes. You don't have to have those big, great tomatoes. You don't have to have the big watermelons. But other folks have those opportunities for you. Where you can go on the side of the road and purchase them. I love it when I come by a location and all of the fruits and vegetables are just out on the side of the road, and this is where folks make their living. This is how they go about their day and their evening and their night. Over and over, year after year, cultivating the little piece of land that they have and growing from that. And you don't have to be young. You don't have to be old. You don't have to be in the middle of the ages to figure out when you're going to start. Start now. Take a seed, any seed, and put it in a plant. I remember when I was a child and I was growing things, I took some beans. We had bean vines. They didn't produce any beans, but the vines were beautiful. And this is all part of nature. Now, I'm sure that eventually they would have produced something. I was unaware of how to farm. And, of course, I was doing my urban farming. It was just an experiment, I think, that we had for class. That's when home economics was still a course that you had in class. Does anybody remember home economics? Wow. That was something else. That's where you learned a lot. And who does home economics now? Not in school. So, folks, you at home who know how to do home economics, make sure that you're educating your children on how to sew, how to mend a torn shirt, or how to sew a button on that has come off, or a zipper. You don't just throw the top the items away because the button's not there. You don't just get a safety pin, although if that's what you have to have in an emergency, sure, have that safety pin. But know how to mend, know how to sew. I think we were sewing aprons, which is one of the easiest things. Who wears an apron now? I do. Because I need an apron just to eat some meals. You know how we go to the restaurants and they have certain foods and they give you those bibs? Well, you can have an apron, and that would help with that. When you're cooking, put on an apron. That helps reduce some of the streaks or some of the germs that may be accumulating on your food. So these are some things that I would have you to do to get started with your urban farming. If you are in a rural area, you probably already know about urban farming or rural farming. That's something else. And then ranching, dude ranching. And on the ranch, even though we think of ranch, we think of the horses and whatnot on a ranch. But there are other things. If you live on a ranch, trust and believe, there is a garden somewhere. We are growing food somewhere. Some sustainability is necessary. Fishing. I look at a lot of fishing shows on television, and some of those fishing shows, they're capture and release, and they measure the fish, and if the fish is too small, they put it back. But if it's large, these are on the cooking shows. If it's large enough, if it's a good weight, they'll take it. I remember I was on a fishing trip. Well, I wouldn't say it was a fishing trip. We were at a cabin, again, Holiday Inn for me, not a tent, but there was a huge catfish that was in this pond that my brother-in-law caught, and it was one of the best catfish that we ate. Now, I'm not real keen on seeing the product alive and then consuming it. But there are a couple of things, crab fishing or crab lobster fishing or shrimp fishing. When you're down in the bayou or on the southern coast of the United States, some of the best shrimp. And understand when you get those shrimps, they are head on. Some people consume the head. I don't, especially with the eyes looking back at you. But the freshness of those things, those farm things, and not, when I say farm, I'm not saying they've been given those extra added things to make them bigger or make them multiply. But I'm referring to farming as where they're cultivating and they're nurturing and they're making sure that those iodines and all those germs don't come into their little pods to infect them. That's what I'm talking about. So I want to hear from you. We have some folks on the line, and if you would like to join in the conversation, please press 1 so I can open up your mic. Other than that, if you're not having not yet called in, you can do so calling 1-515-605-9325. So I'm going to open the mic up for area code 443-224. If you don't mind, please announce yourself, give your name, where you are located, and how your conversation will relate to the topic today. Welcome to the call.
Hi, this is Jerry, otherwise known as Jerome Grant. And
oh,
I'm on South Chicago.
Yes, yes. Welcome to the call, Jerry. I appreciate you being here. So you've heard the conversation that we've had thus far about urban farming, rural farming, ranching, fishing, and the agriculturism of the earth.
Absolutely, and I'm an avid fan of that. I'm searching for a dehydrator right now to dehydrate my fruit and vegetables. I do have a small garden in the backyard. I grew squash this season. It did pretty well. I have some turnips and some kale. I'm sorry, not kale, but collards. They did well. Radishes, I grew them at the first part of the season. They did relatively well. The squirrels got a hold of some of them. I'm really enjoying myself gardening, and it's something that we all should do, like what you said, to supplement our food source. And fishing, I haven't been out in the lake yet. I'm trying. I got my license.
Oh,
and want to do some salmon fishing off the lake, I understand, but just haven't had the time.
Now, you said there's salmon fishing off the lake?
I have heard about that, fishing off of, like, 67th Street. A couple people have told me about it. I just have to be – I'm a skeptic. I think you got to go way out, but they're saying, no, you don't. You can fish off the pier. And there was someone in the newspaper, I forget which newspaper it was, he caught a 20-something-inch salmon, and he claimed that they got it right off the pier. So,
oh, wow. Now, you are a part of the urban farming at this point because you're in the city. Is that right?
Correct. Right, I'm
okay.
An urban farmer. I do. I have an association with a farm. I'm part of a farming community. As a matter of fact, I got a text a little while ago. I think they're probably asking me when am I coming back. I do a little sub work in Iowa, about 4 hours from Chicago, and I've learned some agroforestry tips from them. So I'm just immersing myself in it, which I encourage us all to do, to learn about the fruits. Yeah, you know, I was looking at a scripture verse. I want to say it was Revelation 22. Talked about the healing of them, that every month the tree bears fruit every month, and that the leaves are for the healing of the nations. I really do believe that a lot of our healing medicines come from the ground, from the root, and I just wanted to get back to that. I think a lot of the pharmaceuticals, they take that concept, they take a natural product, and they try to tweak it and so they can get a patent on it and push it out. But, you know, for example, I think it's called moringa. It's a root plant, I think it's said to grow in Africa, and it's supposed to reduce diabetes, reduce, you know, the sugar in the blood and help with diabetes, you know. So they're natural roots and things like that, and leaves and things like that, that can help us. We just need to get educated more.
That is so true. You know, I know that some of our other hosts that come on, especially Monday, Tuesday, Friday, and Sunday, they promote health, healthy living, healthy eating, healthy living. And I've heard that moringa being spoken by one or two of them. So that is definitely, you are so true. And I want to talk about something that I believe, and I want you to talk more about, because you said something about you were dehydrating fruit. I want you to respond on that. But right now we have to go to a commercial break, and we will definitely be right back to continue the conversation, all right?
Okay.
We all say we would like to be wealthy, but wealth isn't determined by how much money you have. Wealth is determined by your power to define what money is. The dictionary defines money as something used as a way to pay for goods and services and to pay people for their work. So how would you like to have access to an unlimited source of money? Money that is not taxed by the government. Money that increases as you share the opportunity with others. Money that you can use to pay for goods and services and pay people for their work. I'm talking about Bitcoin. It's the future of independent wealth building. Bitcoin is the new money that you control. Get started building your wealth. Call 312-849-3456. That's 312-849-3456.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Everything you need, what your body needs, is found in nature. So Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Susan Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products, and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Susan Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced. And we take the guesswork out for you. Let Susan Essentials help you take control of your health today.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. You're here today with Move Around with Deborah as we talk today about how travel and education go hand in hand. As always, I feel that. And the topic today is on agriculture, tourism. That's always a tongue twister for me. But agriculture, tourism, you know, we have the farming in urban, rural, ranching, fishing, wineries. You know, that's when you go to those wineries, that's a farm. And we all do that. Everybody's looking at the pumpkin patches. And somebody said somewhere that pumpkins were a shortage. But I don't know. There are a lot of pumpkins that are out there, a lot of pumpkin farming that's being done. And this not only out in the country, but near Chicago, there is an abundance of a variation of pumpkins. So I don't want you to think that you can't have your pumpkin, although we do. A lot of people do pumpkin pies and whatnot. I do sweet potato pies. And I'm sure the harvesting for the sweet potatoes are ready. Peaches are kind of gone right now. But we never know what someone has in their garden. You know, we have a pandemic garden. It's just a similar to what is going on, the Black on Black Love Community Garden, which is at 8616 South Carpenter. They took a vacant lot. They were able to obtain it from the city of Chicago, which is a chore in itself. They were able to clear it off, and then one of the biggest challenges is having the water sent in and to nourish her. You know, we have to have a lot of water in the case of growing things. It's just got to, that's how it grows, you know. So there is a challenge with a lot of these vacant lots and these farms not getting enough water. But they have blessings. They have angels over there on the Carpenter block between 87th and 86th Street. And the neighbors are supplying the water. You know, that's how we do it. Where are the neighborhoods? When you have a lot on your block that is a vacant lot, here is the a major educational palette that you have. And I am so glad that Ms. Goodlow over there had came in from California and is now educating the young and old. So we were talking to Jerry, and Jerry, hold that thought because I want to come back to you. But we have another caller, and I'm going to open up the mic for area code 312-849. Hello.
Yes, yes. Good afternoon. This is Naima.
Well, good afternoon, Naima, our executive director. We're so glad to have you here on the line with us today. Your busy Saturday.
Yes, yes.
Well, you know, we're talking about urban farming, rural farming, ranching, fishing, and more. How travel
yes.
and education go hand in hand, and we're going to get more into the travel end. But I know you've had some experiences. We were just speaking about how Valerie over there on 8616 South Carpenter is having her Black on Black Love Community Garden blessing today. But I also mentioned our pandemic farm that we have. Also, you want to talk a little bit about our pandemic? This is another urban farm that we have.
Yes, it's very significant that you point out about the water. The place where we started cultivating the land over on 111th place, the neighbor, because we talked about the fact that you have to hook up when you have these vacant lots in residential areas, you do have to hook up with the neighbors. And that's the next step that we're doing and working with the neighbors on that block to supply the regular water. Because, you know, when you water your lawn, you have to supplement what the rain does. And so when you're growing food, you definitely have to understand the water schedule necessary so that we might be in the middle of a drought, but you're going to have to hook up someone's water hose to supply the necessary water. And that's the next step. And so much of what we're doing is to involve the community so that people can have a vested interest in the product. And it's so wonderful what Valerie is doing over there in Carpenter, because many of the neighborhoods that start to become dilapidated and decrepit and abandoned looking, it's because nobody knows what to do with that vacant area. Maybe a house burns down, or people get evicted, or something happened and it's been standing vacant for a while. It falls apart, maybe eventually gets demolished, and then the land is just sitting there and weeds grow up, or I hate to call plants weeds because I've learned, you know, every plant has a purpose. But you see the abandoned look where people start throwing trash, and that just creates a whole vibration for that block where maybe a house used to be and now it's vacant. And so it begins. And of course, if you were a property owner, you know that's going to bring down your property values. So not having something happening in that space is a detriment to everybody who lives in that area. So what we're seeking to do is identify all across the city those vacant lots and then talk to the neighbors and explain to them, this is the program we're bringing here, Pandemic Farms. We're actually going to repurpose this lot and make it where it can grow sustainable food. We'll identify the plants that are growing there. We'll make it a part of an educational project for the young people so that they can value the land where they live and they can see the value in what's growing there, and they can learn how to cultivate it, and they can learn how to plan a yearly yield of food in a place right now that's bringing the property values down because it's looking like an abandoned vacant lot with trash. So we have to get the neighbors involved because we're going to have to negotiate with them and work out the use of their water hose, their water system, and even the compensation for that, because, you know, of course they pay a water bill. And we respect the fact that it costs them to have running water and all of that. But we also want the neighborhood to feel a part of these projects and give the people something to put their energy toward, not just the youth, but even the elderly. You have a lot of retired people. And one thing about this whole pandemic season, it has brought people to a state of isolation where they haven't got out in nature, which is the most healing thing you can do. Get out in the sunshine. Smell the grass, the trees, the plants, the oxygen that's being put out by these growing plants around you. That's another thing that this will do, is bring in healing to many people who are getting sick just from being inside or from not breathing deeply. If, you know, you're outside and you've got your face covered, you're not breathing in the oxygen as deeply as you could. So being in an environment where you're breathing in, you're able to get that pure oxygen as it comes off the plants that are growing there. And we also understand it's a healing process of even walking on the earth, walking on ground rather than concrete. So all of these things, we're bringing these to the neighborhoods, and we're going to be partnering with Valerie Goodlow and the the Black on Black Love Gardens, because this really is the solution to our urban blight. Every lot that is just sitting there, unused, uninhabited, collecting trash, we're going to transform them and in the process teach about respect for the earth that's taking care of us for absolutely free, giving us plants that can sustain our lives, renew our health for absolutely free. All we need to do is just give Mother Earth a little love, a little water, care, a little nurturing. And all of these places that we've allowed to be vacant and neglected, they can revitalize life. So we're so grateful that Valerie has relocated from a nice warm climate in California, come here to this cold place, but is doing something so valuable and inspiring people. And the thing is, I mean, the power to do this was always in our hands. I always think about Dorothy and the ruby slippers, you know, in the Wizard of Oz, when the good witch told her, you had the power all the time, but you had to go through some things so that you could understand. And that's what we're going. We had the power all the time to take all of these lots and turn them into enterprises, turn them into places of learning, turn them into places of community gathering and camaraderie. We had the power all the time in our hands. Yes. Nobody's stopping us from doing this. No one. Nobody's going to say, we forbid you to take the trash off of those lots. We forbid you to take the dandelion leaves and boil them up and feed the community. We forbid you to do that. Nobody's going to say that. Nobody. So there's nothing stopping us at all from doing what is available for us to do all across the city. But we do want people to be involved in the process who live in these places, because they can benefit in our vision to grow food that's given for free. Because Mother Yes. Earth has given us these plants for free. We haven't paid her anything. We just didn't have the knowledge of what to use these plants that are growing out of the ground for. I call them native plants. I don't say that W word, weeds. I don't call them any, because I've studied every plant growing in the area of our first pandemic farm over on 111th Place, and all of them have a value for something. Either it's a medicinal value, it's a nutritional value, it's some, or it replenishes the soil in some way. Every plant has a purpose. It's like every person has a purpose. So this is the philosophy we want to teach our young people so they look at the ground differently. And when you have more respect for the earth, you don't throw garbage on it. You know, you don't allow other people to throw waste on it. You don't allow it to be made toxic. And Valerie talked last week about when they first cleaned up the area, they found hypodermic needles from people that shooting up because they, you know, drug addicts. All of that energy changes when you look at the earth differently and you see that it's feeding you, it's nourishing you, it's healing you, and you respect it. And that's what we want to instill in the neighborhoods where we establish these pandemic farms.
Yes, yes. Now, Jerry, he's on the line, and he has farm, but I believe that's on your own private property. Is that right, Jerry?
Yeah, that's on my own private land. My grandparents used the land and the land next door to grow and supplement their own. And it, based upon what has been spoken already about using empty lots to compensate, you know, for a food source, a supplemental food source. And on her point about using the neighbor's water, you know, we can use rain barrels. The better thing would be to have, you know, someone with a roof that's a steel or metal roof. But I use rain barrels to supplement the water source.
I was wondering about that because I have one rain barrel, and that rain barrel fills up pretty quickly. Naima, do you have any rain barrels on any of the properties or near any of the properties?
Well, that's the next thing that we're investing in is getting rain barrels. You know, my father always had this thing, which I didn't understand because I was growing up in the city, but he always say, you better catch your water while it's raining. Of course, he grew up on a farm. So, yeah. You know, all of those things he had made sense. So now I'm understanding that you can save rainwater, and it's coming from the sky. So there is going to be, unless you're in a heavily polluted area where, you know, some places are, but near factories and so forth. Other than that, you know, the whole purification process of water, when it evaporates from the ground and then comes and forms clouds in the sky and comes back down as rainwater, that's a natural purification process. So when you can catch rainwater, that's going to be the best quality of water. And so this, we're looking at placing these rain barrels in spots where we can then, of course, you know, water the ground when we have these spells of perhaps dryness and the ground is starting to wither. Then that's when you use your rainwater. So, yeah, I think that is an excellent process, especially so unpredictable, so unseasonable. And if you have a winter where you don't have much snow, you have a lot less precipitation that's gone into the ground. People don't realize how critical it is. We're about to go into the winter season. If the ground doesn't get enough moisture from the snow, then it's going to really need some help in terms of being watered and moisturized so that the plants can grow. So we have to really look out for that snowfall as well, and seeing how much we're going to need to add to the water content of the soil once the spring comes, because, you know, it really depends on that winter season with the snow for the green to appear. And you know, planting season starts like in March, and especially North America, you know, March is that season where you start planting. That means we're really going to need some snow in January and February to make a good ground.
That's
soil.
The only reason snow is good.
Yes.
We have another caller on the line. I'm going to open up their mic so they can join into this conversation. 847-738. Welcome to the call. Could you please identify yourself and tell us where you are geographically and what your statement is on this topic? Welcome. Hello.
So, good morning or good afternoon. It's Jody Susan. I'm in
good
the Chicago
afternoon.
Area. And
great.
I want to talk about the rainwater. Can I
okay.
do that?
Okay.
So I have a little different opinion about the rainwater. So the rainwater I don't think is as pure as we want it to think that it is. And here is why. So a lot of us in this world are on pharmaceutical medications, right, and drugs. And a lot of us are putting pesticides on our lawn. Not all of us, but a good chunk. So the water filters through the air, and, yeah, that it does filter it, but not really, gets into our wells, so for our well water, gets city water. And it does that through when it rains. So every time that we pee in the toilet, those medications go back into our water supply. So it's just, and when it, whatever they're doing in China or Germany or whatever, those toxins eventually make it over here and it makes it through rain. So we have to be the ones that filter our water, right? Either at the point of use, like at the tap, or at the point of entry into our homes. And we have to fuel the soil with nutrients that neutralize what comes out of the rain. Things like ginkgo, copaiba, lemon essential oil, oregano essential oil. These things are putting the nutrients back in. It's neutralizing the plastics, the viruses, the bacteria that we don't want, the bad bacteria. And Copaiba is bringing homeostasis back to the land. So that's my take.
Are these plants that you grow in your gardens or in your soil to help filtrate what else is growing in that area?
So that's a yes and. You can do that, and I recommend it highly. I also suggest to get it a jump start is to use these oils, blend it with a carrier oil like coconut or, I don't know, some other, you know, healthy oil, and blend it and put it right where you're growing your plant. They will be so happy. Just say it. You're going to do this.
So, is that like, say you have a garden that is a half an acre or so. How much of that application do you need to sustain or filtrate a garden?
So I honestly would have to look at the garden and tell you what the garden needs. If there's no so every garden is different, what it's been exposed to. And so I do that. Like I help people figure out how to bring their home and their plants back into homeostasis.
Now, Jerry, who was a caller, said something about a plant, a moringa, that actually
moringa?
Grows in another.
Moringa or moringa?
Oh, you know what? It's about the same. Is it?
Moringa, I'm familiar
moringa.
With that.
Moringa, you said it grows.
Joel, you probably knows more about it than I do.
Can it be transplanted?
I don't know. I mean, some moringa is.
Can something that grows in another part of the world be grown in a separate part of the world? Say something that grows in Africa. I know the climate in Africa is a little different, but can a plant be transferred to this country?
Yes,
there's
a caveat, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
Let's take peppermint. Peppermint grows best in Washington, D.C. Frankincense
mm-hmm.
grows best in Africa, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Copaiba grows best in the Amazon rainforest. So there you can bring the plant in. Honestly, I'm just thinking this through. I think that if you want to, you're not going to get the same result in terms of the quality of the plant here in Illinois, for instance, as you would in Africa when it comes to frankincense. Doesn't mean you can't grow it, but it won't be as nutrient dense and it won't be as medically effective because we don't have the same soil, okay?
Mm.
So I think we need to honor the land and grow what we can that works best here. And then instead
mm-hmm.
of growing Copaiba, perhaps use the oil to bring the land into homeostasis and then grow your peppermint, which you probably grow pretty well here, right? You don't have to get it from Washington. But if you need peppermint for medicinal qualities, buy it from Washington and use it there. You know what I mean? And then eat the peppermint for fun. Does that make sense?
Now, because we're talking about tourism, they have peppermint farms in Washington. So we could.
They do.
Probably...
I have a farmer who has a peppermint farm in Indiana, and he has a farm in Wisconsin as well. So it doesn't mean it's
and
the only
place. And
they're
peppermint farm.
Mm-hmm. Peppermint farm. He also has a lavender farm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just looked up the moringa
plant. It says it's the moringa plant. The moringa tree, also known as the horseradish or drumstick tree, is native to the Himalayan foothills in India and Bangladesh. An adaptable plant, the moringa is grown throughout India, Egypt, Africa, Pakistan, the West Indies, Philippines, Jamaica, Cuba, as well as Florida and Hawaii.
There you go.
There you go. And I guess, you know, there's a lot of plants that have been imported and transplanted. You know, people come, they bring their seeds, they bring their plants. So you can try it, or sometimes you can create the environment. That's what hot houses do. They create whatever the environment, whatever the native environment of that plant is, even if you're in another place where the climate is different. But like Jody was saying, you know, they're also soil is different in certain locations too, so you do have to know what kind of soil that plant uses, and the soil here is different.
And let me add to that, Naima, about the so here's the thing, like when I moved to Georgia, there's a ton of spiders, right?
Mm.
Now I'm gonna start planting a lot of peppermint and spearmint, so that they won't be interested in being around my house. So,
well,
the
with
person,
that, I
want to
say, hold on.
What's your purpose?
Hold on. Don't move yet, because I've got to go to commercial break. But keep that thought, because that's really interesting, because I have spiders around here. Hold on.
Peppermint is not their friend, darling.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. We are a part of the online network of Associated Internet Radio hosts, On Air. On Air empowers you with transformative news and interactive radio TV shows. This is such a wonderful time to be alive and to see our human family coming together as one community as a result of that powerful tool, the Internet. We can now talk directly to each other all over the world. There's no need for conflict or misunderstanding. There's no need for violence to solve our differences. We can talk to each other face to face until we reach an agreement. On Air offers a fantastic global guide to communicators from all over the world who are using their internet platforms to inspire us to strive to be our best selves in order to become the kind, compassionate, loving people we were all born to be. Once we do that, we'll see planet Earth transformed into a place of peace. Subscribe to the recommended YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and podcasts created by these Voices of Enlightenment. On Air provides daily news briefs and a weekly magazine to keep you abreast of events and opportunities. On Air news affiliates in television, radio, and print share information, insight, and interviews with notable personalities. Go to onaireverywhere.com for a daily dose of uplifting news. We're on air everywhere, online all the time.
Oh man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
All right. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Move around with the board. Yes, we are here today talking about travel, education, how it goes hand in hand, and so does soil. It's harvest time. So if you're listening online, please, we encourage you to join into the conversation by calling 1-515-605-9325. Again, that's 1-515-605-9325. Press 1 to let us know that you're ready to talk. And we're actually talking about agritourism. I always get that twisted, that there were agriculture tourism. And folks want to know, well, what is agriculture tourism? It can actually encompass a range of experiences, from farm tours for families and children, winery tours, always like that, farmers markets, you pick it experiences, and even a lot of folks do weddings. As mentioned earlier, walking barefooted through the soil, the ground, and weddings, I've seen that done. You know, there is so much to experience with agritourism and travel. We were just talking about how the different locations around the world where different things can be grown, if it can adapt to the environment, and we want the fresh environment. We want to make sure, you know, we have a lot of pollutants in the air. We talked about how the filtration of the rain coming down, going up, and the moisture. I remember as a child how we used to eat the snow. And we had no problem eating snow, but now I would be kind of skeptical about eating snow. Now, even before, we didn't eat the yellow snow because we all know where the yellow snow comes from. But it is a lot to absorb, and you don't know until you're educated. So that's what we try to do here at the Female Solution every day. Monday through Sunday, we're here to educate you. And I had spoken about specific dates where we talk about the health of your body. And we actually have someone on the line, our Tuesday health guru, who knows a lot, and she just gave me a tidbit about something and animals and how not to kill the animals but kind of keep them away. We still have you on the line, Jody.
We do. We do.
So, great.
We don't want to kill spiders. So here's why we don't want to kill. We have an ecosystem, right? And God made spiders and insects. We all need to work together. And so a lot of times I see posts on, I'll give you guys a famous, it's really not, it's just my thought. So someone did a post and said, there's a snake by my house. How do I kill it? She just moved into her house, right? My reply was, two snakes are slithering through the woods. They run into a human, and they say, I see a human. How do I kill it? Is that what we want?
No.
Not
for
right?
Sure.
Right. So mm-mm. How do we coexist? I see a lot of bumper stickers about coexisting relative to religion, but how are we coexisting relative to the other animals and insects and reptiles in our life? Why don't we just find nature against nature? Put something around your house that they just don't like,
So they're not interested in playing in your house. That's
okay.
All.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's all. That's peaceful.
Okay. And that's what we do. You know, we have a, we talk about the youth in getting educated. There is a young lady. Well, she's not even a lady yet. This child is a six-year-old. She's six now, but she started her education in farming at 3 years old, and she was just brought to the forefront, to my forefront, just the other day. Her name is Kendall.
She's an old soul.
South.
She didn't start farming at 3 years old. She's an old soul.
What's that? She started.
She did not start her farming education at three. I'm telling you, the person you're speaking about is a very old soul, many lifetimes.
Oh yeah. Well, on this side of the earth.
Yes,
on this
side
of the earth,
sorry,
they're saying, the reports are saying that she started her actual farming, and I'm sure that she was getting her education in farming way before then. But she is amazing in how we can change the trajectory of how we're living now. And with all the germs and all the poisons that we're consuming, how we can change and the youth can change. She was just amazing. This Kendall out of South Georgia, and that's where you're going, to Georgia. And she does her fruits and her vegetables. And I think about how a lot of the youth like the hot food. I was just talking to a person the other day, and her 16-year-old has a problem with her digestive system already, where she's got to be medicated because of all the hot foods she consumes. And it's beyond hot sauce. It's a lot of these man-made chips and dips and whatnot, and I'm thinking, they're eating all these byproducts that are made, and they like the spice, but what if they grew and understood peppers and the different types of peppers and how they could get
so
their second taste? See, it's not the heat that they want, it's the flavor that they're looking for. Yes, go ahead.
Right, Deborah, I'm going to make a distinction here. There's food, so like a lot of people are calling things like food and then organic food, food and junk food. They're just food. And the other stuff is something to look like food. But it's not.
Oh,
food.
Yeah. Okay.
It's something you can consume, but it's, I'm just putting that out there like that.
It's
makes
not
sense?
Food. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-mm. It makes sense. But, and that's why we have to educate, and that's why I so marvel at this young lady and how we have the pandemic farm and the Black-on-Black Love community garden, where we're educated, we're bringing that education into farming and our natural foods back into the fold and the mind of so we can do better and get better and heal our body that we possess right now. That's the key thing. So having these farms, like when you start planning in Georgia, we'll come visit you. And the
thank
other
you, 12-12 would be a good day to visit.
and the farms that are right here in our local areas. I spoke earlier about the pumpkins, and there's so many pumpkins in this area. I don't know where they're talking about there's a shortage. There's no shortage of pumpkins. We may not be able to get some other things, But there are a lot of pumpkins. No, so one of the callers that was on earlier, he was talking about the dehydration process of food. Now, I've had dehydrated fruit, and I find that that dehydrated fruit was so sweet that I could not really consume it. And that's from the natural sugars. So even though fruit is a natural product, we have to also think about vegetables and how we prepare the fruit. You know, any additive
can I add to that?
Put in there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
Can I add to that? So first of all, hydrating fruit is a really great thing to do. The mistake I made is I was eating a bunch of dehydrated mangoes, and you don't really get the fiber and you don't get the water. So it processes in your body a little differently and actually could spike your sugar levels. And so hydrated fruit is nice to have, like on an occasion, especially when you're doing it the right way. And, you know, I will just say that I ate so much of that fruit and I didn't have the fiber, so it wasn't doing the work, you know, dehydrated fruit, so it wasn't really doing the work it's meant to do. So when you're eating, there's an opportunity to get the food in its original form as much as possible. Not always, but as much as possible. Fair enough?
I agree. And like you said, the water content. You know, our bodies are already made up mostly of water, and we have to replenish that water. And I think about eating watermelon. Watermelon has so much water. It just melts in your mouth, and you could drink it. You know how sometimes you drink and you get choked when you drink too fast? Well, that happens with eating a lot of fruit that has so much water. Grapes, ripened peaches and whatnot. So what's the difference? Can you explain the difference in fruit and vegetables? I think vegetables are grown underground and fruit is grown above ground. Am I right with that?
Well, I don't know. I haven't really been asked that question. But vegetables, let's think about bell peppers or vegetables. I'm growing them above ground right now. Cucumbers, I think, is a vegetable. That's above ground. Fruit, a lot of it grows on trees, but I am sure that God put a plot twist in there somewhere. Just, you know. But in terms of, you know, why it's so important to eat it is that it scrubs, when you eat the fruit or vegetables and it's close to original state. Do you remember having scrubbing bubbles to clean the bathtubs?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
How, like, it makes it bubble up and scrubs everything out and cleans stuff out? That's
yes.
What vegetables and fruit do to your intestinal tract.
Yes.
Got fiber.
That's why your salad at dinner, your salad should be the last thing that you eat along with the coffee or the tea. Something warm. Your salad
right.
Brushes down the foods that you consume through dinner. I learned that in my travel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love theory. And that's why they give coffee. They offer coffee or tea or something warm at night. But they give the salad in the beginning. I don't know. Sometimes for me, when I get my salad in the beginning, I fill up on my salad and then take my dinner home if I'm out. So that's always a plus for me. That theory on how you consume the food. There's more than just what you eat. It's how you eat it. That is so
it's
important.
Absolutely how you eat it.
mm-hmm. and the birds are green. Mm-hmm.
So how does this work
with tourism? How are you integrating
so
what we're talking about with travel?
We're traveling to the farm. We're learning when we travel to the farms to stay overnight. We learn how to work the farms. You know, you heard of the dude ranches?
Yeah, I went to one of the kids.
Yeah, you go, you stay overnight or over the week. There was a movie. I can't think of the movie or the actors, but the movie where the fellas went to the dude ranches and stayed overnight and learned how to farm and how to work the animals. Those are things that are very important to travel. Weddings, I had mentioned weddings before. Going on weddings and having destination weddings where people want to get married out in nature. That is a very high concentration. Yes.
That's
talking about wineries. Yes. Look at the wineries. Folks want to go to the wineries and see how the produce, how the production of wine from farm to table, how that's all done. That is another big tourism, and not just in your geographical area or your geographical country, but in other countries. There are so agricultural tourism, so huge. Before we were kind of locked down, going over to other countries. We did a lot, but there is a website or a publication. It's called Tree Hugger, and I think about Zelda, our Monday host, how she loves trees, and she kind of opened my eyes up to the trees and the livelihoods of the trees, and I have a tree in my front yard. That I've been wanting them to cut this tree down, but it's a city. It's on the city side of my property. So I can't cut it down. If it was on my side of the property, it would have been gone. But it has even, it has to be trimmed because during some storms, it did come down and damage my roof where we had to get that repaired and all of that. But think about the life of this tree, and as I look at the changes that this tree has made over the years, it is amazing. So this is a Tree Hugger is the name of this particular website, treehugger.com. It's a sustainability for everything, and it talks about 8 agritourism destinations of the world. And, of course, we talk about other parts of the world like Taiwan, Tuscany, you know. In Taiwan, it's good for smaller farms. There's a lot of smaller farms and understanding the local foods that we consume. And, of course, Tuscany, everybody knows Tuscany is known for their grapes and olives and other fruits. It is just so beautiful. Malcaria, which is in the Balearic Islands of Spain. Oh, prayers out to those folks in Spain. There's another volcano coming out. So Brazil, yes, we know about Brazil and the agriculture, the coffee, the eucalyptus, the tropical, the flowers. We're always so excited and comforted in the floral arrangements, especially those floral arrangements of Hawaii. Hawaii is good for coffee, and, of course, everybody knows the pineapple. That's most known, but a lot of tropical fruits. Grenada,
did you know that Grenada is big on tourism? It's smaller. It's not all that commercialized like a lot of the other Caribbean countries are. But they have a lot of plantations and spice farms, fruit farms, and we know that rum is a big grow with the agave and whatnot in the Caribbean. California, of course, everybody knows about California and its vegetables. The garlic, you know, there's a garlic, that garlic fest. Have you heard about that? That goes on every year. I think it's still going on in California. They have a big garlic fest in California, but of course the wine. And then the Philippines. If Philippines has some exotic fruits like the papaya that grows and a pineapple and different things. So around the world, and like you said, even across the country, since we can't go to a lot of places around the world, but even across the country, there are farms where we can educate ourselves and our families and our children to understanding and learning how to, and then bring that education back to our own neighborhoods, our own blocks, our own properties. It is, oh, so awesome. I just love to travel, and I love to understand the different opportunities that travel ensues. So I know that I've been going on and on about agritourism and farm tours and alternative farming systems. Yes, there are some alternative, and I think urban farming alternative to the system. Now, we are still online and we still have callers. Please press 1 to join into the conversation. We'll bring you in. We have a few more moments, so I want to get everybody in, and I'm going to bring back in our caller from 443-224. Thank you for coming back in and talking about. I hope you've been listening to our conversation and have a new enlightenment about the education and travel, the opportunities across the country and around the world. And you know something, I even think, yes, here I go, that we're doing all this travel into outer space. There are some opportunities in outer space as well that will develop, because we know that they're growing sustainability in outer space. The humans that are traveling into outer space, we have our gardens there out there. But on the other planets, I'm sure there are some livelihoods that we will learn as the centuries go on, because we're going to be here for a while. But please, Jerry, you're back on the line. Hello, Jerry, you're on mute, maybe? You've got your phone on mute?
Okay, I had it on mute.
Yes.
So, yeah, I was just you mentioned about agriculture, even in outer space. I think about our space and how. I mean, I'm not an astronaut or in astrophysics, but I think there's a move now toward aquaponics, which is where you allow gases and water to provide nutrients to the plants. So that's another exciting part of the agribusiness or the agriculture is aquaponics, and I'm still learning about that. I bought some equipment, but haven't had a chance to set it up to test it.
Now, are natural gases from the earth, or These are not man-made gases or supplemental gases.
I don't know exactly how the gases are used, but they autonomize the air with molecules, aqueous.
You're breaking up there.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I was saying that I saw, I believe it was a video where they used mist, they used aqua mist, they sprayed the air with this, I guess it was part gas, part liquid, and that's where the plants got their nutrients from. And then in aquaponics, they use a water solution. I mean, it's like a liquid solution, and in it are the nutrients for the plants. I mean, they're really trying to minimize the amount of soil, because they figure we can grow things without soil, and that we, and they could do so more efficiently, because they claim that, you know, in the normal systems, you need a lot of water, and the water goes to the soil, and the soil water is wasted, and that's the claim that they make. But so I could see them doing that in outer space. You mentioned, you know, activities in outer space. That's also something we should try, you know, our hand at aquaponics, as well as traditional gardening. I'm doing both.
Do we have to take one of these space trips to to see how it's done up there? I'm game for that. That's travel. Okay, you're breaking up again. So while we come back to you, Jerry, we're going to go to our last commercial break. Wow, these 2 hours go so fast, but here we go. We're here every day, so I want to share with you some of the opportunities to listen in.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on higher learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant. Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of our cells, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about self-care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Hallelujah, greetings in the spirit of Way O and Yah Shalom. Way O means we are one. Yah is Hebrew sacred name for God, and Shalom means peace. I'm Evangel Mamadi Love Yah Nubian, and I'm inviting you to join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Wisdom with Mamadi. Call in number 515-605-9325. Wisdom. Women in support of daughters on motherhood preparation. And spiritually speaking, men who do the will of Yah are mothers too. As a Montessori educator, author, activist, international award-winning poet, and ordained minister, females, I want you to say farewell to all things, seen and unseen, that prevent your potential. You bring forth.
Okay, so Mama D will be here next Saturday. You know, we're here at the Female Solution Global Radio and Television Show each and every day, helping to bring solutions to you and your life, your livelihood, your family, your future. And we know that it has been a fact made that there are lives that have been saved because of us coming to you and bringing the word, bringing the wisdom, and bringing the knowledge, not only from our host, but you as well. You are co-hosts who chime in every day. We so appreciate the teamwork that we bring and what we receive from our audience host. And even though I didn't say share with you the Wednesday show, but the Wednesday show is awesome. Many times the Wednesday show is narrated and hosted by our men because we want our men's perspective on life and how we, the females, can help with the solution. Just because our title is the Female Solution, we definitely need input from you, our men. So we thank you all for chiming in each and every day or listening, because if you miss this time that we're here at those scheduled times, because you could be doing something else, and we know we are all tied up. But you can certainly listen, go back to the broadcast, the Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. I know that's a full mouthworth, but all our sessions are archived, and I know sometimes I have to binge watch some shows that are interesting to me because I want to hear everything all at one time. And a lot of times I listen to the shows after the fact. I listen as I do my daily work ethics. we enjoy. So we still have our callers on the line, and we're going to start winding down because we only have a few more minutes. But I want to go to our callers that are still on the open mic with you, Jerry. You want to have any lasting thoughts or statements?
Early in the presentation today, we talked about drying our food. I was looking for a dehydrator, and the intent is it's supposed to keep the food, it's supposed to preserve the food naturally for much longer than it would if it had the juices or the liquids in it. And so, I encourage, the listeners to look into that. Something I read, it said that only 3% of the vitamins get lost when you dehydrate it, but you can preserve the food for many months in your refrigerator or freezer. So you can have those strawberries, when they're out of season, you just be eating dehydrated fruit.
We talked about the dehydration but how the moisture, the water content, is lost in the dehydration. But you know what? I do a lot of now that I am somewhat of an empty nester around here, I still have to refocus myself on how much I purchase. So I find that I'm freezing a lot of the fruit as well, my berries and whatnot. So and I'll pull them out and after a while because I'd rather freeze it instead of it turning, molded, getting all that extra fuzz and stuff on it. I go back and I wonder how long can we sustain those types of things in the freezer.
I don't have an answer to that.
That's a cooking show.
Yes.
that's a cooking show. Well,
right.
Thank you so very much for chiming in today. Your input was certainly received well. And we even talked about the moringa. And Jody was talking about how the peppermints, you said you had problems with squirrels. I wonder how something that you can grow in your garden can ward off squirrels. Jody is moving to
Georgia. Squirrels don't like peppermints either.
Oh.
Squirrels don't like
peppermints
either.
I should have more. I do have a chocolate mint plant. I don't have a lot of them, so maybe I just need more.
Yeah, maybe you need to put them around the perimeter of your garden.
What you could do is use peppermint essential oil and spray the area where they like to congregate, and they just won't come back.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's quite a challenge because I'm surrounded by trees and squirrels. I mean, there's the squirrels playing a lot next door. It's a challenge, but I will get some more mint and try to put it on the peripheral. And And how about urine from like foxes or dogs or something like that? Maybe does that would that deter them? Maybe
urine.
It's an idea.
That coyote urine I heard a lot about.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know if that's going to go down in my food.
It would deter me from coming.
No. I remember skunk, you know, that skunk stuff, that'll deter a lot of stuff, too. Yeah, and
okay.
That sticks with you, but then you wouldn't want to go outside. That skunk stuff is kind of strong. So, Jody, do you have any closing remarks as we wind down? Thank you so very much for being here, Jody.
Says, always look to nature against nature. Because we don't want to kill anything because we need it. So just look at what can I use in nature that the squirrel or the spider doesn't like that won't negatively affect your children or you or other people that will just make them go find a new home. That's all.
Sounds good. Explore that when you're challenged.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
thank you for
a great show today.
Yes,
thank you all. Thank you. Very informative. We have to hold our hands out and give so others can receive. And with that, you know, we talk about tourism. I'm all into moving around. However you want to do it, if you want to drive from one point to another. But I encourage you to go out. If you're in the Chicago area, today starts the day of the Chicago Open House. And what that means is we're just showcasing Chicago, the architect, the at-allness that Chicago brings. There is an app. You have to Google it, Chicago Open House, and just take it. If you don't want to go out, they have virtual opportunities for you to look at what's going on around Chicago, the architectural sites. Even look out your window and look at nature. Look at the trees. If you live in the concrete jungle, then look at the buildings. Look at the architecture of the different buildings. Even if all the houses on your block are structured alike, they had the same plan, there is something different that you can see, and you can travel in your mind. Travel is so educational. It's so soothing. It doesn't have to be the hustle and bustle of going out to the airport or getting on the train or getting in your car and driving hundreds of miles. You can travel in your mind with virtual travel if you have the internet. If you don't have the internet and you're listening to us by phone, you can still travel. It is amazing what you can do with your mind and how when you open it, it relieves you. It relieves the stress. It heals your body. Did you notice now to put this in perspective, when someone hears news of a health challenge, Have you noticed that people who are stressed about that health challenge end up a lot of times succumbing to it way before the time is needed? Yes, because stress will kill. Stress and lack of rest Now, when I say lack of rest, that doesn't necessarily mean you have to be asleep, although we all know, or we should know, that when your body is in a restful position, it too is recycling itself. But if you don't have the time, or you're in a situation where your body is aching, if you're in one position or another, if you can relax your mind, take that mask off your face, off of your mouth and your nose, and put it over your eyes. How about that? Put that mask over your eyes and relax and meditate. There's music that you can meditate to. You can meditate to hard rock if that's what you're into, if that's what you like, and if that's what gets you going. Or relaxing, you say, can I really relax in hard rock? Yes, you can. I've done it. Can you relax with the children running around back and forth and doing what they do as long as they're safe? Yes, you can. You can relax. You control your mind. That's what you have to do. That's how you have to live. You control what you do, and that's what we here at the Female Solution share with you. We talk about travel and how getting into a different geographical environment helps take you away from what you're going through. But a lot of times it's just as chaotic and confusing as you were if you were at home. So it's all a state of mind. Travel is all a state of mind. And today we learn how agricultural travel can educate you. Travel is the best education you could find, and it doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. Travel is always in the forefront. Take advantage of it. Well, one thing I do want to share with you before I let you go is the importance of insurance when you travel. And you say, what kind of insurance? I'm talking about travel insurance. A lot of people don't believe that they need travel insurance. Oh, I'll just cancel my ticket or get a credit or a refund. Well, let me tell you, that works in some cases. But a lot of times you may be already where you're going. How does that work for you when your trip is interrupted? And we don't know. I mean, we buy house insurance just in case. We don't want to use it. We buy life insurance because we know eventually it will be needed. We buy car insurance. We don't want to have to use it, but when that comes to fruition, will have it. Travel insurance is the type of policy in most cases that reimburses you for the money you lose from non-refundable deposits, payments, or items that you've lost. Or now, one of the most profound situations is our medical emergencies. Can you imagine being in another of the country or another country and you get sick or have a toothache or a stub a toe or is in a car accident or gets food poisoning or on a zip line and get a cut on your finger and that finger gets infected and you can't get to a medical facility that will be able to help save your life? this is what travel insurance, the proper travel insurance, will do for you. It will help to pay for the physicians in that area. It'll help to medically evacuate you to as far as coming home. Yes, sometimes the only medical assistance that you can get that's comparable to what your needs are is your own physician, someone who is familiar with who you are and what you do. So you can get that through travel insurance. More and more, you need to protect your investment, the investment that you spend when traveling. I encourage you to look into having travel experience, the travel policy. Now, there are many travel insurance that will cover you. There are many different types of travel insurance. Understand what those are and involve a travel advisor. You know, we're no longer identified as travel agents. We're travel advisors now. And travel advisors are definitely here to help you. If you have any questions or concerns or want some travel advice, sure, give me an email at Deborah, Deborah, themalesolution@gmail.com. Again, that's Deborah.themalesolution@gmail.com. I'll be glad to come and talk to you further about your needs, your wishes, your wants, and share some vital information with you. Also, if you have any questions or concerns or topics for this show that's here every third Saturday, chime in. Let us know. That's what we're here for. We truly appreciate all that you are and who you are. And I want to thank you again as we close down this call. As always, I say be safe in your travels. God bless you all, and I love you.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Cell Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Viata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
We've come to the end of our show today. But you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, xiexie. India, zanyaba. Japan, arigato. Korea, kamsahamnida. Russia, spasiba. Germany, danke. Poland, dziękuję. France, merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, geret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, tashakor. Saudi Arabia, shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.